Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening today. As always, go check out reallifepharmacology.com. Go subscribe there, get your free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs. Great review if you're out in practice, as well as if you're going through pharmacology courses, preparing for board exams. Nice little quick refresher of some of the most important testable pearls, as well as some of those things that you commonly see in clinical practice. So again, reallifepharmacology.com is where you can find that by subscribing. All right, so let's talk about the drug of the day today, and that is trospium chloride. I'll just refer to it as trospium today. Brand name of this medication is Sanctura. And technically, its classification, it is a bladder anticholinergic or bladder antimuscarinic, whichever terminology you kind of prefer there. It generally fits. Ultimately, what this does is it blocks the action of acetylcholine in bladder smooth muscle. And what that ends up doing, or what this medication is commonly used for, is urinary frequency and overactive bladder type symptoms. Dosing with this medication, we're going to look at twice a day, usually for the immediate release. There is an extended release version as well. Generally, this is going to cost more money, unfortunately. However, you know, I definitely have seen both utilized from time to time in clinical practice. Now, adverse effect profile, as you could imagine, with a medication that's classified as a bladder anticholinergic, you are going to have anticholinergic adverse effects. Dry eyes, dry mouth, constipation, the potential for urinary retention, if we get too much of the drug there, obviously, can slow the GI tract down. And then CNS sedation, potentially increasing falls risk and things of that nature. However, I will mention with trospium, and in clinical practice, one of the reasons that you might want to consider trospium over some of the older bladder anticholinergics, such as oxybutynin or tolteridine, is it has potential for less CNS penetration, so less ability to get across that blood-brain barrier. And with that being said, obviously, we're hoping for less CNS, central nervous system, adverse effects. So that CNS depression, maybe that fall risk, that might be slightly lower with trospium versus, again, some of those older anticholinergics often used for bladder spasms and overactive bladder. The flip side of this is that cost is generally more with this medication, at least at this time. So that's a potential downside to trospium and why you probably don't see it as much as you see oxybutynin and tolteridine, is because of insurance coverage and costs that way. This medication is on the beers list. So whenever I see this medication used, I'm always looking for some of those trigger medications that indicate to me anticholinergic adverse effects. Whether it's saliva substitutes, whether it's an increase in BPH medications such as tamsulosin, but you know, often urology will use these medications together, so that's kind of something that's a specialized thing. But it does have the potential to worsen that urinary retention. So artificial tears, if you see a drug for constipation, there's another potential adverse effect from trospium. If you see a drug like metoclopramide or erythromycin used to stimulate motility of the gut, so we're thinking gastroparesis there, well, trospium can do the opposite and potentially oppose the beneficial effects of those prokinetic type agents there. All right, let's talk kinetics a little bit. First off, I want to mention CYP pathways, and the reason I want to mention that is because trospium generally isn't metabolized by those CYP pathways, or at least not to a significant extent. So that is definitely awesome when it comes to potential drug interactions and things like that. Administration and absorption. So ideally, it's best to administer on an empty stomach. That is due to food's ability to kind of blunt or block absorption of the drug a little bit. Again, if it's, so this is something in clinical practice where if the patient's tolerating it, they're benefiting from it, and they're taking it with breakfast every morning, and they're doing it consistently, and they feel the drug is working great, it's like, I'm probably not going to switch that, so it's probably not a major, major deal. But if the patient is not responding to the medication and they're taking it with breakfast or, you know, lunch or whatever time of the day they're taking it, that's the situation where I'm going to go in and I'm going to recommend, hey, let's take this, you know, maybe an hour or two before we eat on an empty stomach, and we might help maximize that absorption. And obviously that can help the drug work better if we're getting potentially higher target therapeutic concentrations to that patient. So that's kind of how I think about something like this with administration and just kind of navigating that with patients and trying to encourage them to take it at the best time, particularly if they're not responding to therapy. All right, let's take a quick break from our sponsor and we'll wrap up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material like BCMTMS, BCPS, ambulatory care, geriatrics, psychiatric certification, definitely go check out meded101.com/store, S-T-O-R-E. In addition, if you're a pharmacy student, we've got NAPLEX content there as well. So go check that out, support the sponsor. If you're a nurse practitioner, med student, physician, just looking to brush up on case studies, clinical pearls, looking for great resources that way. I have books, numerous books on Amazon, numerous books on Audible as well, to kind of help lay out case scenarios, clinical situations, stopping polypharmacy, drug interactions, all sorts of good stuff to help teach and to help you learn medication management better if that's a weak area within your practice. So again, all those resources, links, meded101.com/store, S-T-O-R-E. All right, so let's finish up with drug interactions. So, you know, I mentioned that trospium doesn't really go through those CYP pathways, so that's super nice as far as reducing the risk for drug interactions. Most of the drug interactions I think of when I think of trospium are going to be some of those additive effects. And particularly, you know, trospium being on the beers list, some of those drugs that you shouldn't use in elderly patients or ideally avoid in elderly patients. I think of anticholinergic burden first and foremost. So if we're using trospium with other agents that have anticholinergic activity, your diphenhydramines, your hydroxyzines, and so on and so forth, we're going to increase the risk of those anticholinergic adverse effects. Your dry eyes, your dry mouth, potentially sedation, fall risk, things like that. Remember I mentioned trospium is hopefully lower risk when it comes to some of those CNS adverse effects, but certainly that additive effect can still happen. And then in addition to, you know, those anticholinergic effects, we've got to think about the potential for mild sedative properties and CNS depression. So, you know, your benzodiazepines, your sleeper medications, your opioids, alcohol, that may have a potential additive effect, additive CNS depressant type effect when combined with trospium. All right, so I've definitely talked about anticholinergic effects and really highlighted those. If you go back to the oxybutynin pharmacology podcast, so you'll definitely hear me talk about some of the prescribing cascade and particularly the specific anticholinergic side effects a little bit more there. So that's a good one probably to head back and brush up on. Diphenhydramine is probably another example where I've talked about those adverse effects. So I'm going to wrap up the podcast for today. Thank you so much for listening. And if you enjoyed this podcast, leave a rating, review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. Email your, you know, class that's taking pharmacology, share us with friends, colleagues, and other classmates if you're in school. That's greatly appreciated and has certainly helped our podcast grow to heights that I never would have thought that it could. So I'm greatly appreciative to all of you who have done that. And if you haven't taken the time, definitely feel free to share us with all your healthcare colleagues and classmates. So with that said, I'm going to sign off. You can track me down, mededucation101@gmail.com, or LinkedIn is probably the social media network I'm most active on and easiest to get a response from there. So take care, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.